we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
It's all too easy to believe that our desires are exactly what they are because God wants them to be that way. That's a powerful temptation and therefore a powerful threat, and it's got to be taken seriously.
These are the sins of not quite being enough of what we think we ought to be. Those kinds of sins are easy to confess, but that confession doesn't do anything. And there isn't much God can do about it.
Without the cross, without what Jesus did at the cross, I would argue that you cease to have Christianity. And if we cease to have Christianity, we are lost and damned in our sin.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers, love, issues, etc.
Well, this is how a lot of people do the math. They look at these two world religions, Christianity and Islam, and they compare them side by side. And they usually start with something like, well, you know, they kind of overlap in their scriptures. The Christians, they affirm the Old and the New Testament. And it appears that Islam affirms the Old and the New Testament in some way. They got Jesus in the Quran. Well, he's kind of all over there. They worship one God. Don't Christians worship one God? Don't Muslims worship one God? Does that mean, and this is where the math comes in, that they're worshiping the same God, that there's not really any substantive difference, maybe in the details, between Islam and Christianity? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, September the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Islam with Dr. Roland Kapp Elke here in the first few minutes of the program. After that, Helen Hull Hitchcock joins us, founder of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. We're going to talk about a recent story in The Atlantic titled, Will Catholicism Ever Bless Gay Marriage? Pastor Gregory Michael will be our guest. We'll talk about the beliefs and practices of Baptists. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Steve Keeser will join us. Where can we find the church? And then Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will lead us through our weekly Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about the creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, actually 1 and 2. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. You can also, if you're one of our beloved on-demand listeners, as I know so many of you are, you can call our comment line with questions, comments, anything you want to add, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Islam, Dr. Roland Kapp Elke, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and he's author of an article for the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Muslim. Dr. Elke, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. Nice to be here.
Many people might assume that because Muslims revere the Old Testament, they have room in their theology and their teachings for Abraham and Moses, even Jesus, because they worship one God, that there are a lot of things that Muslims and Christians have in common. How would you respond to that?
Well, that is the impression many people have, and yet it's false. I just recently reviewed a book by Robert Spencer called Not Peace, But a Sword, which takes up that issue. He's kind of considered one of the top experts on Islam. But yes, they both worship one God. And both the Quran and the Bible talk about many of the same characters. The Quran, of course, written 6 centuries after the completion of the New Testament, 5 to 6 centuries later, and it talks about many people, like you mentioned, Jesus and Moses and Ibrahim in the Quran. Nevertheless, there are many differences, and give you a couple of examples. One, the Quran alludes to Abraham offering up his son. Most Muslims understand that as Ishmael, not Isaac. So a lot of the Bible stories are changed and not the same as in the Holy Scriptures. The very idea of God is completely different from Islam to Christianity. The Quran explicitly rejects the idea of the Trinity, and though it talks of Jesus, it speaks of him as a prophet and not more. It rejects the idea of him being the Son of God. It even denies the fact that he was crucified.
So the Jesus of the Quran is a completely different character, so to speak, than the Jesus we find in the New Testament.
Yes, Jesus, called Isa, I-S-A, in the Quran, is not the Jesus we know. He is not the Jesus who suffered and died and rose again for our salvation. But he is a prophet in the line of Abraham and others, and a prophet not of the standing of the final seal of the prophets, Muhammad.
How would you explain to someone in kind of a shorthand way, and you've alluded to it here, about kind of the latter development of Islam, where Islam came from?
Islam arose in the area of what is now Saudi Arabia, Muhammad's dates were 570 to 632, and the Quran was given. He gave the utterances and later was written down by others over a period of about 20 years or so toward the end of his life. Many of the ideas it contains about Christianity, about Judaism, the Old and New Testaments, are changed. For example, in the Quran, it speaks of Mary, Miriam, as a sister of Aaron and Moses, confusing her with Miriam of the Old Testament, who was their sister. The Bible had not been translated into Arabic at the time of Muhammad, as yet. And he seems to have picked up many erroneous ideas from Jews, Christians in the area. This is a problem, of course, in Islam, because Muslims believe that the Quran comes directly from heaven. And therefore, if there are discrepancies between the Quran or even major differences, like I've alluded to with the crucifixion and with the chronology of the mother of Jesus, Mary, if there are differences like this, they say the Bible has to have been corrupted or changed at some point. However, we have manuscripts of the Bible predating Islam that say the same thing, and it was not these original documents have yet to be uncovered. So there's a real problem there between the basic scriptures. The Quran would claim to be a further and final revelation following the Old Testament, the Torah, it's called in the Quran, and the Gospels, the Injil, it's called. But instead of being a complementary revelation, it is a contradictory revelation.
One kind of side question here regarding what some would suppose to be a parallel between the Quran and the Old Testament. Does the Quran affirm, does it say anything about the creation account? What version of things does it present there?
It does have a creation account, although even within the Quran there are some variations as to the length of creation. And it does speak of the creation of Adam. However, the concept of the fall into sin is lacking there, and consequently the concept of a need for a Savior. But yes, there is a creation, nothing of the majesty or dignity that we have in the prologue, the great opening chapter of Genesis, from Genesis 1, 1 to chapter 2, verse 4. But there is the idea, yes, that God, Allah, is the creator, and that we are his creatures as our angels, and all of creation is his.
Now, you've mentioned this just now. Strictly speaking, we wouldn't call Islam a way of salvation, even a self-proclaimed way of salvation. Salvation seems to be a foreign concept to Islam. What is it replaced with?
Well, every religion ultimately outside of biblical Christianity is a religion of works. That's a natural religion of human beings, that we have to do something. And I think that Islam is the religion of works righteousness, a quintessential example of it, because it very clearly says, this is what you do, and if you do enough good works, and they outweigh the bad works on the scales, on the balance, then you get into paradise. But there's no guarantee, because you're not sure, have you done enough? So it's a religion of works, centering around the five pillars of the faith, often referred to in writings on Islam. And I refer to them in that article, too, that there is the reciting of the creed, the ritual prayers said five times a day, the almsgiving, the fasting during the month of Ramadan, and then, if possible, the pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in a Muslim's lifetime. And some say that jihad is another pillar of the faith. The one guarantee the Quran gives about someone getting into paradise is if they die fighting for the cause, then it's said that the paradise or the garden is theirs. They will be admitted to the garden which he, Allah, has announced to them in Surah 47. What I'm saying here, of course, is very politically incorrect, because many believe and would like to believe that Islam and Christianity worship the same God. It's been said by many Christian leaders even. And many would like to think that Islam and Christianity are compatible, and Judaism, all monotheistic religions. But there are great divides between them, and those divides are really unbridgeable. I think it's far better to say, speak the truth in love, as the Bible enjoins us, and point out there are these differences, and let's not kid ourselves and say that it's all one. Jesus claims, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And Islam would certainly not accept that, because he is not seen as the Savior, the suffering and dying and rising Messiah, but as another prophet who is in the line of Abraham, Moses, and the others, pointing to Allah.
We're talking with Dr. Roland Kapp Elkley about Islam. When we come back, we'll walk through those five pillars, beginning with the creed of Islam. What is it? What does it say about their beliefs? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, Etc. journal.
In Hosea 4, we read, My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, September the 8th, we're talking Islam with Dr. Roland Kapp Elke of Concordia University, Wisconsin, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Muslim. Before the break, you had talked about the five pillars, maybe six, of Islam. Let's walk through those briefly, if we could, beginning with Islam's creed. What is the creed of Islam?
Creed is very short. Islam contains no mystery like the Trinity nor the Incarnation. Rather, the creed is just this simple statement. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Muslims are to recite this once in their lifetime, but in fact they say it daily, and can be said, you know, in a matter of a couple seconds. There is no God but Allah. It rejects the Trinity. The Quran says, say not three, and it rejects the idea that God has a son, and Muhammad is his prophet. Those are the two parts of the creed in Islam.
You said also, and depending on what brand of Islam we're talking about here, ritual prayer. How would you describe that? What is the Muslim doing there?
Ritual prayer is said five times a day at different times during the day, sunrise and other points during the day. And at this time, Muslims are to face Mecca and recite prayers in Arabic, whether they're understood or not. So it's a ritual prayer. It is not ex corde, from the heart, but it is a prayer according to a certain form, and again, said facing the holy city of Mecca.
Then the almsgiving, is this comparable to the same piety among Christians?
Well, in the Old Testament, the tithe was required, a tenth. But the almsgiving in Islam is 2.5% of one's possessions for the poor, debtors, and slaves. It's obligatory, and I can't say how faithfully it's kept or practiced. I am thinking that it's there are differences in different parts of the world of Islam. It's going to vary in different parts of the Middle East and elsewhere, just like not all Muslims are going to be as rabid as we have with ISIS in Iraq. Despite the variations, again, the heart of Islam is a legalistic system that says this is what you do, that is what you do, to earn your way into the garden that is paradise.
Does the same go for the disciplines of, and they often are done parallel, the disciplines of fasting and of a possible pilgrimage to Mecca?
Yes, fasting is during the lunar month of Ramadan, which varies as far as what time of the year it is because of the lunar calendar. It's going to shift through the different seasons. They are to refrain from food, drink, and sexual relations from sunrise until sunset. There are exceptions with someone who might be very sick or a woman who is pregnant and things like that. But it is one of the rituals. Now, some of these things, certainly a Christian may fast at times. Certainly we want to give to the Lord as God blesses us, but they are not part of the works that we do to earn our salvation. As for the pilgrimage to Mecca, about 2 million people a year make that pilgrimage during the month of pilgrimage. So that's a huge, huge number of people descending on Mecca, and the areas around there involves going to other sites, seeing where Muhammad preached his last sermon and things like that. But the culmination is the circumlocution, or circumambulation, rather, walking around the Kaaba, which is at the heart of Islam. The Kaaba had been the shrine that housed the 360 idols before the time of Muhammad. He cleansed it, got rid of these idols that were inside, but kept it as a place of pilgrimage. Even though that number is huge, about 2 million a year, when you compare it to the vast number of Muslims worldwide, well over a billion, close to a billion and a half, you can see that most Muslims are not going to make that in their lifetime.
So you say, Dr. Elkey, that of the many ways that the God of Islam, Allah, is described in the Quran, one is conspicuously absent. He is not described as loving. What does that tell you?
Well, I think there would be words that come close to it, but the idea of God is love is lacking. And every surah, every chapter except one of the 114 chapters begins with, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, which sounds loving. But the idea of God sacrificing himself, the idea of God winning our salvation for us, because none of us can keep God's law perfectly, the idea of God incarnate, dying on the cross and shedding his blood, giving his life for the salvation of the world, all of those concepts are completely lacking in Islam. I lived in the Middle East for a time, knew Muslims, and some, you know, I got to be very good friends with. But, and I'm not saying, you know, that your average Muslim is not a fine person and so on. There is that civic righteousness, that outward righteousness that people the world over can share. But what is lacking is a faith in the Savior and a love that springs from that, that reflects that love of Christ toward others. So as good as many Muslims might be, and as well-intentioned as they might be, what they lack at the heart is Christ, who is the only Savior. I might add, too, that most Muslims, I don't think, are inclined to be terrorists because it just runs against the human tendency of self-preservation. But I think most of them are not going to be especially opposed to the idea, because it's there in the Quran, the idea of smiting the enemy and so on.
Dr. Roland Kapp Elkey is professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's authored the book Speaking the Truth in Love to Muslims and an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Muslim. Dr. Elkey, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope that I've helped answer some questions people might have. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, Helen Hull Hitchcock will join us. We're going to talk about a recent story in The Atlantic titled Will Catholicism Ever Bless Gay Marriage? Stay tuned.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States.
40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Sophisticated Lutheran apologetics. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.